PlantersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Your thoughts on the Texans draft?
I wasn't a big fan of their first round pick, but I thought that they did a pretty good job throughout the rest of it. I would have loved to see them add another offensive lineman.
Clark was functional replacing him last year in the playoff game. He wasn't the problem. That one didn't bother me, and a lot of people were mad they didn't draft another defensive lineman.
That's the other thing I would have
said. But see, I think they addressed that last year with Christian Covington. They think he's going to be a really good player.
If they had taken a defensive lineman in the first round, I think I'd be in love with this draft. I didn't particularly love the Patriots draft. They didn't get any players that I look at and go, damn, sucks that that guy's on the Patriots. I wasn't in love with what they did. It's almost like they just think, we're good.
Belichick's always kind of done things his own way. He'll pick players that fits what he's looking for. So he's never quite going to match the rest of everybody else's draft board of what he should do. So for that, I'll defend him a little bit.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, you missed a lot of draft talk, a little basketball talk, Game of Thrones talk, worked in a little Banshee talk, and then we had Florida Woman.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Maybe Florida Woman.
Yeah. We think it's a woman. Anyway, all available on podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. Lamont said jokingly, as it stands right now, the Texans have a run-and-shoot team on steroids. I've heard a lot of people asking if that's what they're bringing back with all these receivers, but I think they're going to, you know, they want to have a versatile offense where they game plan differently and use different guys. So, I mean, that's... You want to have as many weapons as possible that you can throw in there, and plus you just want to hope, you want to help hope some of these guys hit.
I guess my only concern if they did go to some kind of an offense like that is it would put a lot of pressure on the defense.
Right.
And the defense has kind of been the strength of this team.
Yeah, you want
to... I'd hate to get away from that.
You want ball control so that they're on the field less.
But they, I mean, they run a lot of plays as it is. I mean, relative to a lot of the other teams in the league, they burn through plays pretty quickly on offense.
Well...
I mean, they're not quite Chip Kelly, but they're up there.
You know what? The thing is, though, none of it's going to matter unless they got it right with the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't know if you – I'm pretty sure you saw this story about the 30 for 30 with Curt Schilling.
No.
Well, he was part of a 30 for 30 that they was re-airing before Sunday Night Baseball. And guess who was missing from it?
Curt Schilling?
Yeah, it was basically the it was 4 days in October, and it was recounting the Red Sox comeback in the 2004 ALCS. And
how do you even do that episode without him?
They noticeably missing was the Curt Schilling bloody sock game. Now, here was the excuse. You tell me how much you believe it. ESPN said in a statement that it was basically because there was a softball game that went long, so they had to cut it down.
Okay.
So when a live event runs long, it's standard procedure to shorten a tape program that follows. In this case, we needed to edit out one of the film's four segments to account for the extra length of the softball game. Coincidence that it was?
No coincidence. That's like the first thing that comes to mind from that series.
Yeah, exactly. You can't take that out, right?
No.
So, and then, of course, Curt Schilling also did not think it was coincidence. Wow, one year complete fabrication to defame greatest quarterback, now omitting about 4 hours of a game I think I played in. Integrity much?
I don't think he's going to get hired back.
No, but you know what? That has nothing to do with anything that happened with him at ESPN. I mean, as a baseball player, that was a moment. And if you're doing a 30 for 30 on that series, there's three other things I think you could, well, two others. You can't whack out game seven.
No.
But you could whack out one of the other two. And that's just kind of, I'm not a fan of Curt Schilling. I think he's, you know, I think he's a little off in his thinking, but those are his opinions. And and it obviously cost him his job. But I think that's pretty damn petty to take that out.
I'm with you.
So
hey, we didn't. You're usually really into digging into this, but the Texans, like every team, signed a bunch of undrafted free agents.
They did.
None of them jumped out to you. You're not interested.
Yeah. Well, now we can go over them. I don't. Usually, there's a couple that stand out to me as guys who might make the team, and eventually, not necessarily right off the bat, like Max Bulla a couple years ago, I thought would eventually be a middle linebacker for him, and he's hung around. There've been a couple, obviously because of Arian Foster, everybody pays more attention to it. For some reason, there weren't too many that jumped out at me.
Okay.
I mean, we can go through them.
Well, I mean, if you're not interested in
it. No, it's not. I usually I can give you one or two that I think might have a chance of making the team. I don't know, man. I think their roster's pretty close, so there weren't a lot. I mean, I don't know.
I think Steven Anderson could make the team just because he's a tight end, and the tight ends that are on the team are total garbage. He was decent at Cal. He wasn't anything life changing, but they've put some pretty good tight ends in the league out of that school, and he's a quick guy. He's not very big, unfortunately. He's like 6'2",
right?
But he's decent, and Jared Goff didn't use him quite as well as I thought he could have, but he's a decent player, and if he were a little bit bigger, 2 inches taller, I think that guy gets drafted for sure. So I think maybe that guy's got a chance. I think that the fact that we talked about this earlier with any offensive lineman has a chance. And
like any defensive lineman has a chance.
Any defensive lineman may have a chance too. So
I mean, they signed a couple of defensive ends, but
and then the Duke Thomas, who was a corner at Texas, who he never quite lived up to his hype. That guy was a big time recruit and just never quite lived up to it. Maybe he gets a look at some point. Probably not at cornerback. I would think of him more as a safety. And Jalen Jefferson, who's an inside linebacker, and him and Shaquille Rashad, both inside linebackers, I'm guessing that they're looking to keep somebody who can play that position. Whether it's one of these guys, I don't know, but I'm sure that's what they're looking for.
And obviously, a lot of times, a couple of your practice squad players will come from these guys too. They're looking for developmental dudes, but usually there's like five names that really jump out at me, and this year, not so much.
The Bills got a Gronk.
Yeah, they did.
And who the Bills got? They got Eric Stryker, who kind of everybody assumed he was going to get drafted. And he's not very big, but he was one of the most productive guys in college football. And kind of a guy that everybody seemed surprised that he wasn't drafted. He's a second-team All-American. Didn't get drafted. That guy can play. There weren't a lot of guys left over after the draft, though. I mean, we talked about this being sort of a weak draft anyway.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of guys that were left over that were screaming, hey, I should have been drafted. I think that Gronk, because his last name's Gronk, makes for an interesting story. But there weren't many.
And, they're just – usually there's – a few guys that don't go for whatever reasons, they're too small, but they're really productive college players, or just somebody got overloaded at a position and ignored them. And so there's every year there's three or four guys that sign with each team that I think, wow, that's a guy who could make the roster. I this group I'll need to see more out of, but there's not somebody there that can say, you know what, I love this guy, I think he's got a chance to play. And usually there's one or two, sometimes more.
There were a couple names at quarterback that sort of jumped out to me. Vernon Adams not getting drafted was one. I know there was a lot. Trayvon Boykin, which I didn't think he was going to get drafted. I know people cared about him, though. Jacob Coker from Alabama, looks like he signed with the Cardinals. And that's a guy I think maybe can play a little bit. And then Steven Rivers, Philip Rivers' brother from Northwestern State in Louisiana.
Via LSU.
But a guy that used to be a player for a minute. But those were sort of the interesting quarterbacks that I thought were left over. Besides that, I mean, nobody's really – I don't think anybody was left out that was a huge omission.
Yeah, I mean, I think this draft was pretty good for about three rounds. And then after that, there were some guys who dropped. But I didn't really feel like there were going to be a bunch of undrafted players that somebody was going to get a nice one out of. So, but you know what?
Oh, you know what? Chucky Keaton, I think he's somewhat interesting. I think that's a guy we should at least.
Yeah, he's poor guy could ever stay healthy.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's worth mentioning.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Well, if you want to see any of these players or any of these teams now the way they look, the best way to get your tickets is SeatGeek, and it's always the first place I go when I need tickets. I ran into somebody the other night, and they were asking me about getting tickets for an Astros game, and I just pulled up the SeatGeek app right there on my phone and helped them find the best possible deal. SeatGeek pulls all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time. You never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming games, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. And best of all, they're always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows you the full ticket price from start to finish and never surprises you with huge fees at checkout. And it's not just sporting events. Concerts. You want to go see any of these great shows coming up. You want to go see the Las Vegas Raiders when they move there. Their tickets are going to be available too. Don't wait to find your tickets. You want to go catch the Astros? Anything. They're all on SeatGeek. The best deals don't last long. Download the free SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com and grab your favorite tickets before they're gone. That's the free SeatGeek app or SeatGeek.com. And we're back on the Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great one. 713-780-ESPN. So the latest on the Sam Bradford thing.
Yeah.
Coach Doug Peterson came out Saturday and said that anybody that's not in any of the 32 offseason programs is losing valuable time. So anybody that's not in the offseason program, yes, they would lose the time, hinting that he's putting his starting job in jeopardy by not being there. Says, I think it depends on how and when he does come back and how fast we can catch him up and put him back in the situation and see where he's at.
He seems not to care, right?
Well, said again, no one makes a team in April. We're not making any roster adjustments and letting people go. It's all about evaluation, and he's in that evaluation process. But as I've said in the past, he was one, Chase Daniels two, and we're moving on from there. But apparently he's not returning phone calls, texts, or anything to the team.
Okay.
He's being a complete little baby.
Shocker. Well, the Eagles, a lot of people thought the Eagles had the worst draft.
Well, and they traded so much away anyway that there wasn't much left after they went after Carson Wentz.
I mean, it gets to where if that guy is not the guy, then this is a horrifically bad draft for them. But it's a risky move, but I mean, maybe it pays off. But that's they really didn't do anything outside of
hopefully Lewis. They got their, they're hoping they've got their franchise quarterback. And I would say screw Sam Bradford. It's like, okay, you know what? You're not here. You're the backup. Chase will start until Wentz is ready, and we're not trading you. We're not cutting you. You either show up or don't get paid.
Right.
And quit being a little baby. That's embarrassing. You're acting like you're some kind of star. Maybe it's because they paid you so much. Let's squeeze in a couple phone calls.
You start to feel like a star if you're paid like a star.
Yeah, even though you're mediocre. Yeah. Jeff, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, fellow sports.
Sports to you.
Well, just to follow up about the undrafted class, I do like the Rams picking up Aaron Green to kind of back up Todd Gurley, but I wanted to comment on the Jaguars. As a Texans fan, I'm starting to see them kind of build a solid team. I mean, they got their quarterback, and then if you think about it, for me, it's kind of like they drafted three guys, Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, but then you got Dexter Fowler, the top pass rusher last year who didn't play, and I would assume he would have been the top pass rusher this year drafted too. So they seem to have game breaker at each level on defense now. So I don't know. I'm kind of nervous to see the Jaguars start to come up, and it seems like they're building something out there. Just want to get y'all's comments.
I mean, their defense has been so poor that they needed a – I mean, they basically did what the Texans did on offense, and they dedicated their draft to defense. The Bills did the same thing with their draft. Basically said, we got to fix our defense. We got to get better. We're just going to overdraft it that on that side of the ball. The Jags put everything they had into that defense. They had one, they used one pick on offense, and it was for Brandon Allen from Arkansas, a quarterback in the sixth round. And he's actually, I think,
it's a decent
could
project,
be a pretty decent player. I think that he makes for a good backup quarterback. I mean, I don't think they ever think that he's going to be anything, but he's a good backup quarterback. But like you said, yeah, to have Fowler, Ramsey, and Miles Jack, who are all top five in the draft type talents, and you're adding all three of them to the mix next year, that's pretty impressive. And we'll see if they can all play together, and we'll see if they can be coached, if Gus Bradley can coach those guys. But there's no excuses at this point for there's not enough groceries in the kitchen. They've got the groceries. If that defense sucks, it's Gus Bradley's fault.
Well, I think, you know, you never really know what these guys – I love what they did on the surface, but let's also keep in mind that now Fowler's coming off an injury where he missed a year. Miles Jack had the dreaded microfracture mentioned. So, you know, there's optimism, obviously, but the one thing that I've noticed about the Jaguars is certainly over the last few years, they just haven't got it right a lot, even with guys that look like good picks.
Yeah.
And I'm still not convinced on the quarterback. And maybe – I mean, this is the year to me he's got to cut down the turnovers, and especially in key situations, and, you know, and protect the football better. If he can do that with what he did last year and they get better play from the defense, then yeah, I think they can be a surprise team. But those are all questions I'm going to be skeptical about, and I'm not sure I trust that coaching staff to get the most out of those guys.
They're also going to have to start getting more out of guys like TJ Yeldon, who they used a draft pick on, second round draft pick, and he was meh last year. I mean, and I know he was dealing with some injuries at different points in the season, but he's got to be better than what he was. And a lot of that is the offensive line is not very good still.
And they missed on some guys there.
That's why, because they've used some high picks on it, and it just hasn't worked out. But this is it shows you how important the draft is. You know, when you start missing on top five picks, man, it'll kill you. Like Luke Joeckel being a bust is brutal. And not that there was
– well, and everybody thought he should have gone – well, they both – actually, both those tackles wound up being a bust.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, if you remember that draft, who could they have taken at number one and people would be going, oh, that makes sense, they took him at number one. I mean, I don't know if there is a guy you could have taken there. Because Deion Jordan was kind of the other guy looked at as a possible at number one, the pass rusher, and I don't know that you'd call him a star. You know, the tackle from Oklahoma that went out that year? I forget his name, but he's went to the Eagles, and he's been so-so.
Yeah. I mean,
Lane Johnson.
Yeah, he's been okay. He hasn't been great.
But I don't think anybody would – if you could have taken that year and you'd be like, yeah, they really hit a home run with that pick. But – That's tough, man. When you're picking that top five, you got to get those. You got to make those work.
Well, and that's one thing that when you look at the Texans, at least they've gotten their first round picks right more often than not. They haven't really had, unless Clowney turns out to be a bust, which I think this year will determine that. But yeah, it if you look at that entire top 10, my goodness,
from that year,
yeah. So Eric Fisher first, I'd say bust for number one overall. Luke Joeckel bust. Deion Jordan, they traded up to get him.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson, you mentioned, he's been okay, but fourth overall pick. Ziggy Ansah.
He's good.
He's good.
But even if they'd taken him number one, would you be going, oh, that makes sense?
Yeah. Barkevis Mingo.
No.
Jonathan Cooper, who's already been traded.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin went number eight overall.
Disastrous.
D. Milner.
Not good.
Chance Warmack.
Not good.
DJ Fluker.
Not good.
DJ Hayden.
Not good. I mean, that's a bad draft.
All right, here's where you get into a good player. At 13, Sheldon Richardson.
That dude's a monster.
Star Lutulele.
He's been good.
Kenny Vaccaro.
Been good. Although his defense sucks. He didn't look very good. He didn't look as good as he should have been.
EJ Manuel. Does that hurt?
I mean, that's a nightmare draft.
But you know what? It got better a little later on because here's the guys who go after them. Jarvis Jones, has not done much for the Steelers yet, but he's looked good when he's been healthy. He just hasn't been healthy. Eric Reed to the 49ers.
Eric Reed's a player.
Justin Pugh to the Giants.
Yeah.
Kyle Long to the Bears.
Kyle Long is a player.
Tyler Eifert to the Bengals.
He's good.
Desmond Trufant to the Falcons.
He's good.
Sharif Floyd to the Vikings.
He's solid.
Here's one not so good. Bjorn Werner.
Oh, not
Colts.
Good at all.
Xavier Rhodes to the Vikings.
Okay.
Datone Jones to the Packers.
All right.
27th pick to your Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. He's been very good.
Sylvester Williams went to the Broncos. Then the Vikings got Cordarrelle Patterson.
It's not bad.
Rams got Alec Ogletree.
Not bad.
And for a pick that some people thought was a huge reach, Dallas Cowboys got Travis Frederick.
He's been very good.
Yeah, he is. So there's some at the back end of the draft there, but that whole top 15 is it's just not good.
That's why drafting is not a science.
No, and the reality is that when everybody puts these grades on them and stuff, I just think it's so hard to know whether any of these things are going to work out. What you hope for, the best possible thing is you say in your draft you get eight guys or six guys or however many. You just want to hit on 50% and hopefully hit on your high picks.
Yeah.
If you do that, then you're creating a roster you can win with. And if you hit on one of your middle picks that is going to be cheap for a couple of years, that's even better. And that's really it. Not all these guys are going to work out. Every year, everybody's like, oh, they got eight guys who are going to help them. No, four guys will help them at most, maybe three. And that's why when teams like the Titans and Browns load up on picks, they can afford to make some mistakes because, you know, adding all those extra picks are more likely to hit on some of the others. That's what the Patriots have done over the years. It's just trade down, add picks. And, yeah, they miss a lot. You go by some of those Patriots drafts, and you'll be like, oh, whatever happened to that guy? But then there's two or three that wind up being players for them that they got at a reasonable rate. All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academy. Houston Can Academies are a terrific school. What they do is if a kid drops out of school, doesn't know what to do, Houston Can Academies helps them. They work with kids who are at risk, some who've dropped out of other schools for a variety of reasons, and they work with them. They help them get through, and they also give them the things they need. If they need glasses, if they need transportation, they even feed them if they have to. And it helps these kids get back on track and graduate, do great things, and go on to live a productive life. And that's why more than ever they need your donation. And your donation is a vehicle you're not using anymore. Can be anything, can be in any kind of shape. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to come tow your vehicle away free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, how about some Astros tickets? Just their way of saying thank you. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. You get those Astros tickets. So give Houston Can Academy a call. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make that donation. Help change a life right off the car, not the kid.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. I'll squeeze in a few more phone calls here before the end of the show. So, Five Star said he's on the strip. Showing one of the race books there. So what's the opinion on SS Cash from Duke going undrafted? From what I understand, he signed with the Panthers as an undrafted guy. But
not a bad place to be, by the way.
No, and they'll figure out a way to use him, but probably too small to be a linebacker, too big to be a safety kind of guy, kind of caught in between. Very productive college player, but I think that's and a lot of injury issues since December probably added up to why he didn't get drafted. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Adam.
Sports
to you.
And stuff. So I have two questions, one football and one GOT. Question for football. For
Texans being the first ones done with draft, I don't know why they didn't go out and get, you know, discount Von Miller, a.k.a. Stryker, or the Brock, supposed to be like Gronk. If they want to copy everything that New England does, you'd think they would kind of gone that way. Just didn't seem like they really got a lot of the good undrafted people that are out there. And then for GOT, what do you think of the changes to the Dorn storyline?
You want to hit that one first, Fred?
Yeah,
I'll address the other.
I think it's more interesting than it was. I mean, you basically just had a guy sitting there in his chair being boring. So, yeah, I think it's I like it better. And as far as you address the other one. I have some thoughts on that, too.
Listen, these are all undrafted free agents. Nobody knows if any of these guys are going to be any good, period. I think to say they didn't get some of the good undrafted free agents, if these guys were good, they would have been drafted. I mean, if there was some sort of lock that they'd be, you know, hits, they would have been drafted.
Here's the flip side of that, too. The keywords that you're ignoring are free agents. They can pick where they want to go. Their agents are going to try to find them situations where they can make a team and make a difference. And, you know, you can go after them, but if they're really guys that people thought should have been drafted, then you're going to be in competition for them. If you recall, the Texans had to give Arian Foster a 2-year deal as an undrafted free agent. So, you know, it's real easy to say, why didn't they get the best ones when everybody else is trying to get the top guys? So, anyway. So really two reasons there. Tim, talking about draft grades, it's hard to get a grade before you take a test. The next 2 to 4 years is the testing period. Let's grade drafts then. That's why I like going back and looking at that 2013 draft where it's easy to say, oh, these guys are busts. But then you look at the rest of the draft and you're kind of like, this really wasn't a very good draft at all, was it? You know, so that's when you can start judging it, I think, is 3 years later. So.
Which is about the draft we just judged is about 3 years old now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think most of those, there may still be some guys who could develop out of that. But for the most part, I think we know who's who. I mean, but nobody ever does that. They all want to do grades. I just try to look at it as what teams got players that might help them.
That's what I look at. I look at who got guys that I liked coming into the draft, you know. And who knows how they're going to all translate? You try to put that when you're looking at these players, you try and decide whose skill set translates. And I don't know. Nobody knows. But guys that I had circled coming in, who got a lot of those guys? That's what I like to see.
Yeah, and you try to look at who the coaching staff is at a certain place and you know what kind of players they've drafted in the past and what kind of guys you think fit into what they do. And yeah, when I look at a team like the Bengals, hey, this draft may be a total bomb, but I love almost everything they did.
On paper, early, it looks good.
Yeah, and they got some guys that everyone else had going much higher. But if you look at them historically, they kind of do that. There's always players that slip, and the Bengals grab them. And there's a reason they've been to the playoffs pretty much every year. They can't win in the playoffs. But year after year, they get players who help them. Mod says, back to Game of Thrones, everyone mentions John warging into Wolf of the Starks. The only one who knows they have that power is Bran. Yeah, but there's been kind of moments and hints at it. So.
And doesn't it address it in the book? Because my wife, she's read the books, and she made it sound like all of them have the power. And
yeah, all of them have it a little bit.
And when they said, it's in your blood, like the warging is in your blood. They said that in last night's episode to Bran, it's in your blood. Hmm.
That was such a cool little scene, though, him watching Hodor talk.
Yeah, when he's walking around, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then when he was talking about it, and poor Hodor's just, Hodor.
Yeah. I want to know what happened to Hodor that made him a dummy.
Yeah, I kind of am curious about that. I'm sure they'll show us that. I think there's going to be some other stuff that pops up that gives some backstory, which would be kind of cool. You know what? When this whole thing's over, I bet you they do a whole prequel series.
Maybe.
That would almost
make a bunch of dough off of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, HBO likes making that money. I'm getting a couple of questions about, do I have any hockey bets tonight? No, I have nothing on that game tomorrow night.
Damn Predators, they're down 2-0.
Oh, that one killed me because I had a pretty nice bet on them last night to even the series. And they had it tied at 2, and then, you know, the Sharks are playing really well. But, yeah, I went 3-1 on the weekend. Because 1-1 yesterday, I had the over on the early game, Blues and Stars, and then I also bet the Blues.
Yeah.
But I am on the over on Lightning Islanders tomorrow night.
All right.
That's a 3-star play. So 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And, you know, the fun thing now is, now that teams are kind of put together, you start getting into mini camps. And, you know, what I'm most curious about is exactly what the Texans have with Brock Osweiler. We'll finally get to start seeing him work with these guys and start finding out just what he's going to give them.
Yeah.
Because really he hasn't been able to do anything since they signed him. So I'm pretty fired up, man. I think it's going to be a fun offseason. I don't know how good they're going to be. I think that's going to be the key. But I'm optimistic for once, which...
That's always good.
Yeah. I usually try to be realistic. Now, I do think the division gets better because I think the Colts are automatically going to be better. Because
you don't think Andrew Luck will suck as much.
I don't think he's going to have the same kind of season as he did last year. Even
it's almost impossible, really.
Yeah, unless he's just
permanently broken.
Yeah, and you know, if Pep Hamilton did that, then who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't anticipate that being the case. And I would be curious to see if the Jaguars have just added enough talent, you know, that they'll be able to overcome some of the other, you know, some of the coaching and things of that. And I think they'll be better. I don't know what to make of the Titans yet. Same thing. Coaching staff, I don't know. And I don't know how many picks they're going to hit
I didn't hate their draft, though.
I didn't like it. I thought...
Really?
Yeah. I thought... like they took two or three guys that I just...
I love Conklin.
I like that pick.
Kevin Dodd, I think he's a pass rusher. He's a pass rusher only. I mean, I think he's got some work to do as a complete player, but he is a good pass rusher. I think Austin Johnson is really good at defensive tackle. Derrick Henry.
I didn't like that pick.
I didn't really love it, but I mean, it's their fourth.
I've already said he's going to be a bust.
It was their fourth pick. So, I mean, it wasn't like the worst thing in the world. I thought they did okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a bust.
But I mean, anybody who has, you know, a first round pick and 3 second round picks should come away with some decent players.
Theoretically. And I think they'll hit on a couple of those guys, but I just still think they're poorly coached and poorly run.
I do agree with that.
So. Until that gets fixed, I can't really...
Yeah, well, that's not getting fixed anytime soon. All right. I got to tell you guys about attorney Gary Trichter one more time. And, you know, if you're out and about this weekend or any weekend for that matter, all it takes is an accusation, you know, and maybe they'll put you onto some test that you'll have no chance of passing. And your life can be in the dumps unless you've got a great attorney. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. And what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests, the blood tests, the breath tests, and the faulty science behind it. He's experienced in telling the truth about that to juries in a trial situation. A lot of lawyers will take DWI cases. You could just go through the yellow pages and find one who will take your case. They'll plead guilty and knock on wood and hope that the judge goes easy on you. Not Gary Trichter. He's experienced in going to trial and fighting for your rights, fighting against that faulty science. All the inaccuracies about the testing, he is a master in all of them. He understands it all and understands how to explain it to juries. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, or it's getting to that time of year, boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com, 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
You gotta fight!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring, located on the Weta. Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Funday with the HD show. And that's coming up at 7 o'clock. And Lamont and Rottweiler are all debating that, I guess, everybody does Game of Thrones flashback or recaps now. It's just something we've always done.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to pick up on things. And If you're not doing that right now, you're probably not doing a very good job, with all due respect, because everybody's talking about
that. We were just smarter than those other guys earlier.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
But I thought you were any flashback scene, or was it dream sequences? I hate dream sequences. I'm okay with flashbacks. It's the whenever.
And then, like, you think something happens, and then they snap out of it.
Yeah.
They did that on Vikings a couple weeks ago. Like, Bjorn got shot in the, Ragnar's son got shot in the neck with an arrow. And I was like, he fell off a boat. I was like, oh my God, he's dead. That's crazy. And then it was a dream sequence. Hmm. And it was like, while the girl was awake, it wasn't even a dream. It was like a vision.
No,
I don't like that.
That goes back to Dallas, where, the whole season didn't happen because it was just a dream. Stuff like that is just cheap and poor writing, and I hate it. Oh, let's do dumbass report.
All right. Did you know the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Chief of Staff has resigned?
Did not know that.
Yeah. The LA Times obtained chain emails that he sent during his time with the Burbank Police Department, filled with sexist, racist, and otherwise bigoted jokes. In a statement, Sheriff McDonald said that he would accept his resignation. The incident is one that I find deeply troubling. Despite the Sheriff's Department's many recent efforts to fortify public trust and enhance internal and external accountability and transparency, this incident reminds us that we and other law enforcement agencies still have work to do. We're going to look at this as a learning opportunity. The emails were all sent between 2012 and 2013. He did the his apology, maybe not the best. Anybody in the workplace unfortunately forwards emails from time to time that they probably shouldn't have forwarded. I apologize if I offended anybody, but the intent was not for the public to have seen these jokes.
Of course not.
That never makes it better.
Nope.
I wanted to be racist and bigoted in the privacy of my own email. You guys weren't supposed to know that I felt this way. Let's go to Florida, where a 41-year-old Florida woman defending her younger brother during a DUI arrest was also charged with drunk driving. A reckless driver was heading south on the highway early Friday. A Florida Highway Patrol trooper spotted the vehicle, pulled him over. According to the incident report, the trooper smelled alcohol on 31-year-old Joshua Moncada and arrested him. Minutes later, Ursilia Moncada arrived in her vehicle and argued with the trooper over the arrest. Another trooper was called to the scene, found her to be impaired, and arrested her as well. She escaped from the patrol car, but was later captured. They both faced DUI charges. Not wise, guys. If you find out your brother's been arrested, don't run to his rescue if you're also drunk.
Not wise.
Galen Ballman has been out of prison for about 3 years when he came to Queens to meet a friendly crowd of reporters, activists, and academics over a meal. He was 31 years old. He'd been invited to tell the story of how he became incarcerated and labeled a sex offender. So he's been speaking out for sex offenders' rights for years, which not an ideal situation to be in, like where you're having to like defend sex offenders. But
it's not a popular one either.
His situation was when he was 19, he went to prison for having a consensual relationship with a high school kid. So it was something that. It's one of those kind of close calls that we say, oh, maybe these guys shouldn't be. Well, bad news. Now, as he's 31 years old, he has been caught and arrested for texting a teenage boy. Ugh. So all this time he's trying to make it better for sex offenders. Not the way to do it, my man. Not the way to do it. And finally, a 41-year-old woman won the lottery, $3 million on Friday night.
Nice.
She showed up at work on Monday to deliver one last package. Would you come to work the next day?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Actually, I wouldn't tell anybody I won. And then I would just slowly disappear a few months from now.
None of these people knew. But they say, I knew something was wrong because I came back from lunch and the door to my office was closed, said her manager. I slowly opened the door to discover the woman with her pants around her ankles, hunched over on my desk like a hippopotamus cheetah, dropping a massive poo on my desk. She shot her head towards me and locked eyes. I was frozen in shock and fear. In my peripheral vision, I saw a huge, dump coming out of this woman. It was worth it, said the woman on her arrest. On Friday, when I realized I hit the lotto, I knew this would be the first thing I'd do. I've been putting up with this guy's bleep for years. It's time he put up with some of mine.
If you're a turd, it's gonna come back to you.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's the dumbass report, folks.
So how much trouble is she in?
I don't know.
Can't be that much, right?
That can't be that bad. Yeah. No big deal. It's just a little.
$3 million, I think you can handle it. No, if I won a lottery, I would nobody would know. I would just keep it quiet, and then like 6 months from now, I'd be like,
can you do that in Texas? I think Texas, you have to. They announce the names.
No, like, only
they only announce where the ticket was sold.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you don't have to. You don't have to tell anybody anything. I mean, I'd probably tell you guys because, you know, I'd probably buy you guys something nice.
And we'd be like, hey, why are you getting me this? It's weird.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, John, you know what? Here's a wedding present for you. New car. How's that sound? You wouldn't take the car?
Oh, I would take the car. Okay. I'd probably sell it too.
Fine. I'll just give you 50 grand. Jeez, is that fair?
I'll take the 50.
Okay.
Come on, man.
No, actually, what I would do...
I need the cash more than the car.
Fine. You'll get 50 grand, and then I'm going to pay like four of my friends way into the main event this year.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That'll do.
You would get one of those.
Okay. I'd probably blow it.
That's all right. It's lottery money, right?
That's true.
Because I'm not the kind of guy who would spend a whole bunch of it. I don't really need anything. So I'd buy like a couple things, and then the rest I'd... just put away for my kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd probably do a few stupid things with it.
Which is what you got to do.
But not many. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Monday's in the book. Should be a very, very fun show tomorrow. We have lots of good stuff planned for you and mostly non-sportsy stuff.
Yeah.
So we have a prison letter, too, that we're going to get to tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
So... all right, want to thank John Lee. Great job as always. AJ Hoffman, great job as always. Till tomorrow. Stay sports, you bitches.